Well, we will call our special board meeting to order. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Okay, no, we're not gonna stand. We got a special board meeting here, so no citizens' comments?
None at this time, but just for the record, let's call the public hearing to order for the budget.
Right, so I call the public hearing to order. Do we need a motion on that, or?
Not to open it.
Okay.
6:05.
6:05, all right. 6:05, the public hearing is open.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so we have a presentation that we will walk you through tonight on the proposed budget, a copy of which has been provided to you. There was some previous criticism around the size of fonts and everything, so we just wanted to make sure that we covered all our bases this time and have that in front of you. So duly noted, Jeff, you got that? All right. You gotta teach these young kids how to work things around here. So anyhow, let's go ahead and get started. Again, we'll review the budget tonight and then talk about some individual funds and departments. We do have this set up for approval tonight, so if there are no other further questions or revisions, we can ultimately take final action. In terms of the highlights of the budget, again, this budget wins the Government Finance Officer Association Distinguished Budget Award. We actually just found out last week that we won the GFOA Award for our audit once again as well. So we continue to be receive those awards. The capital plan that we discussed back in January, which really at the end of the day is the meat and potatoes of your budget, is included in here. So we've already, to a certain extent, vetted a lot of what is in this document. The rest of it, a lot of it, as you'll see, relates to police, salaries, benefits, pension obligations, things of that nature. We also roll in performance activity measures, as well as our goals and accomplishments. So looking, and I'm glad I was being kind of a smarty pants before, but I'm glad I gave you a copy because it is a little small, but I'm looking
smart
at it. So,
pants.
Yeah. looking at just a general fund budget 19 versus 20, you know, we look at two snapshots when it comes to the budget. We look at our reoccurring, and then we break out our non-reoccurring because we look at the non-reoccurring as those one-time costs and expenses that are not going to come every year, and where it's appropriate. And I would go a step further and say strategic to use our reserves to pay for those initiatives. So we always kind of we've started to break those out separately. And so that's what you see here. And so just on a high level, for this fiscal year, we had approved, we'd come close to approving a balanced budget. We had to modify that due to some pension obligations. When it's all said and done, we're gonna wind up being in the black this year by about $70,000 through some good budgeting, hard work by the village staff. So that was just what we had budgeted. Looking for 2020, you can see really about 2.5% increase on the expenses, large increase on the revenue. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's tied to primarily to Chicago and Harlem and the building permits we're gonna see. The good news is for this year, again, we're gonna have a balanced budget. As you can see, you've got about $260,000 to the positive. We've backed out some of those one-time expenses that are talked about in the budget document listed below. So again, for next year, we're looking to be in good shape. Again, future years, we're starting to look at some additional things that we can look at to address structural budget issues.
Eric, question?
Yes.
Does the $94,000 deficit, does that include the $70,000 carryover from last year's budget?
No. No, that just includes the one-time expenses that we've identified for the non-reoccurring expenses for this year. Again, a high-level look at general fund revenues. You can see the largest increases in the licenses and permits area. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit further. That ties back to Chicago and Harlem. Interest, again, we're seeing higher rates as it relates to interest return. And then on the miscellaneous side, that's tied more to our insurance. So we've been able to continue to see positive returns from our IRMA, from our property casualty insurance provider, in terms of some of the interest income credit, as well as just how the system works for losses and returns. Again, going back to general fund revenues, certainly won't go through and read to you every bullet point here, but the important takeaways, I would say, are the last two bullet points. We look at the income tax increase, so that's a significant revenue increase for next year. Again, revenues that come through the state, through the what we call the Local Government Distributive Fund, or LGDF, those estimates are set by the Illinois Municipal League, and so year in and year out, the Village of River Forest, and I would say probably 99.9% of the municipalities in the state of Illinois, rely on the IML estimates to determine what those numbers are going to be. So they're looking at an increase of about $55,000, which is good. And again, that is representative of the reduced contribution that we get from the state. Years ago, the municipalities got a 10% share. Years ago, they had slashed that in half as part of some of the budget cuts. As you recall from previous years, we were worried that number was going to get dropped down to zero. They've maintained it. There's always legislation to bring it all the way back. But, you know, the good news is we're going to see an increase just based on the share we continue to get. And then, again, revenues on the Chicago and Harlan projects. So we're going to see a significant building permit fee for this year for Chicago and Harlem. I, as the village administrator, I would typically not want to balance your budget based on a project that maybe may or may not happen, or maybe we'll just hope that this will come through. The project's moving forward. We're having meetings with staff. They're getting ready to apply for building permits. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and we're talking about weeks as opposed to months. So I'm more than comfortable standing before you and putting that revenue into the budget. In terms of fee changes, most of the changes that are coming through are things that are already predetermined. So we have an increase for the solid waste collection fees, or garbage fees. There are some increases for those who are use the composting program, as well as waste tags. If you recall, last year we approved increases to permit revenue for parking permits, looking out a couple years. So those will take effect middle of this year in July. And that was approved last year. And there's no other increases. We have a very, very nominal water rate increase later on, but there's no other fee or tax increases proposed in the budget. We do acknowledge, though, later on that we'll be coming to you. We'd like to come to you later this year looking at some of our fees that just really haven't been updated, in some cases, for over a decade, and also look for new opportunities as well in terms of parking opportunities in and around possibly even the universities where there's a significant amount of individuals using on-street parking as a way to avoid getting permits from the universities. Okay. Switching over to the expenditure side, again, as we've talked about before, 70% of your operating budget ties back to salaries and benefits. So on a high level, we do have some increases on the personnel services side for planned employee salary increases. The major commodity increase relates to a project the police will be doing, and we'll talk about that here in a second. So on the personnel services, we have planned overall, again, this is for all general funds, we have baked in an increase of about 2% for a cost of living increase for non-union employees. All the labor contracts are up April 30th. So this year we'll be going into negotiations for police, public works, fire. And so the 2% is arrived at two ways. One, we look at the comparable market to see what other cost of living increases look like. And your last two property tax increases, and the COLA that was used for that were 2.1 and 1.9. So we thought 2% was, based on all of that, was appropriate. On the benefit side, again, this is a song I've sung for several years now in terms of our police and fire pension obligations. We continue to meet our obligations and certainly do right by those funds, but not at an insignificant amount of money. So again, all in for this year, you're looking at about $100,000 increase to your police and fire pension obligations. And again, that obviously compounds every year. That's not just a one-time expense. Where we've been fortunate is on the health insurance side. As you know, we're much like Irma, we're part of a municipal cooperative, the intergovernmental personal benefit cooperative, of which I don't think I've shared this with you. I'll be the chair of that cooperative next year. So nothing more exciting than being the chair of a health insurance group. But anyhow, the good news is that that group continues to do very well and beat industry averages to the point where we're seeing an overall decrease in our insurance rates for next year. So those partnerships have allowed us to help a little bit offset those increases in other areas. So instead of looking at a 10 or 5% increase on your health insurance, we're actually seeing overall in the aggregate a 4% decrease. On your contractual side, this is made up, again, this number is fairly flat for next year, but most of your contractual expenses relate back to your liability insurance, right, your IRMA premium contribution. You have dispatch, your refuse that we pay to Strom, and then our IT support. That all combined makes up a lion's share of your contractual dollars. And then in commodities, that number is a little bit higher this year, but the police department has requested some funds for some of those permanently mounted speed limit radar signs that we want to start putting up around town in some strategic locations. We may even talk about one of those locations at our 6-7 o'clock meeting tonight, and that's what that increase is attributable to this year. But again, that's a one-time cost that would come back down next year. So again, looking three years out, you can see for 2020 we are showing, in terms of just a straight revenues over expenditures, a slight deficit. But again, if you back out those reoccurring costs, we're back in the black for that year. So look at it as a way of, on paper, it looks like a deficit. But in essence, you are strategically using your reserve fund, of which we have ample reserves to pay for some of those projects and initiatives, as opposed to raising taxes and things like that. And again, moving out, we continue to show deficit, but as you know, each and every year we come back and we work hard to address that, and I'm confident we'll get there again next year. And the good news is, even if you chose not to address it and just say, well, we're going to continue to spend down our reserves, even by 2022, you're still going to be around 29-30% of your fund balance. Your policy wants you at around 25. So through the years, we've been very diligent about increasing those dollars to make sure we do have some rainy day funds set aside.
So Eric,
yes,
just
ma'am.
A quick question. What is causing your projection for 2021 revenue dip by a half of
The Chicago and Harlem permit coming out.
And you don't anticipate any other development?
Well, yeah, I think you're going to have some other projects. The timing of those, though, we don't know exactly when those may come in. So you could have, so if Lake and Lathrop pulls, and we're not, that will hit this year as opposed to next year.
Right.
And theoretically, you could say, look, we're going to have a huge, we have a very significant surplus this year, and the board may say, well, let's carry that over another year to help pay for that. So giving you an overview of the general fund department budgets, I'm not going to walk through all of these. Again, I'm really proud of myself for printing this out now that I'm looking at it from this point vantage point. But you know, this is within your budget. This looks at some of the goals, not inclusive of everything, but some of the high level goals and accomplishments that the village staff has been able to accomplish this year. Very proud of all the efforts of all our department heads and key staff members in terms of some of the great things that we did here, and not only fiscal year 19, but looking forward to fiscal year 20. Moving ahead, looking at the water and sewer fund, this is another, much like our general fund and our ability to build that up over the last several years, the water and sewer fund has certainly gotten there as well. So if, again, we look at, much like in the general fund, when we look at the reoccurring versus non-reoccurring items, we have a similar approach, well, not similar exactly, but a two-step look at the water and sewer fund like we do the general fund. So here it ties back to depreciation. So here we'll typically show you what the budget looks like, excluding depreciation, and then when you factor the depreciation cost, then sometimes you show a loss, but on a cash basis, you're doing all right. So again, for fiscal year 19 and 20, we're showing decent budgets. We do show a slight deficit this year, even on a cash basis. But as we'll talk about in a second, as we talked about during the capital budget, we're also doing a lot of projects this year. So again, not tied to a structural issue within the budget, but more of let's use some, instead of borrowing money, let's just use our reserves, of which we have ample reserves, to pay for some of these worthwhile initiatives. So, and this is an insight to that. The other thing I would point out is this year, or end of last year, strike that, this fiscal year, the last remaining debt instrument rolled off. So we had a water bond that now is fully paid for. So we have no, with the exception of the sewer project, the IEPA loan that we took out for the NSMP. And then we have our debt service extension base, which is that nominal amount of money that we use, that we put into our infrastructure bond fund. We have no other debt on the books. So we are, I don't want to say we're debt free, because we still have some debt, but I mean, we have a very, very low debt threshold compared to a lot of other municipalities, and that's something to be proud of. And where we do have debt, you know, we put $16 million in the ground to fix a, you know, improve a sewer system, right?
Eric, was that water bond tax cap exempt? So in other words, would we lose that bonding authority?
No, so that was that would have been an alternative revenue bond. So essentially, we're pledging existing revenue within the system. So that's an area where, if you wanted to raise the rate, much like we did for the NSMP, either the state through the loan program, the revolving loan program, or a bond, or a bondholder will then pay for that because you are pledging revenue. So for the CIP, here are some of the big things we're doing next year. Again, we try to replace a section of water main every year, which we'll be doing again this year. We have some of our normal customary things in terms of the sewer relining, the street and the contributions we take out of water and sewer for street and sidewalk projects, hydrant repairs. The things that are new this year that are more of the one time, we're looking to pull the trigger on those deployable leak sensors that we had talked about previously. So John and Mark have purchased some additional ones and have those out currently, right, Mark?
Correct.
In the community and using those. So we just want to test those a little bit more before we make a significant investment, but we have a one-time cost for those. And then we also, we're going to paint and clean the elevated water storage tank over on Forest and Madison. So that's not an insignificant project, about $250,000. Budgeted for that.
Eric, if that leak system was fully deployed, what would it cost? I mean, what percentage of the sewers would be covered by the initial rollout of $107,000?
Oh, yeah, but the...
the idea is to cover the whole system.
Right.
I know, but I mean, so...
So that's 100 more. We have 10 in the system right now. That's 100 more.
So it's $1 million.
No, 100,000.
No, no, but if you were to do the whole system, it would be roughly $1 million.
No, that's...
It would be like 100. 117,000,
10,000
each that are out there right now.
Yeah, so we purchased 10 of them for about $10,000.
Right.
For another 100 of them, that's where you would get the $100,000.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then you would be, for all intents and purposes, fully covered. They're put on valves, correct, right? So they're strategically pushed on, placed on various valves, and then they has a certain radius. So 100 gets you a pretty good coverage area, correct, Mark?
Correct. We have about a 500-foot listening radius per sensor. So we'll place it strategically so we can basically alarm the system. It'll be like having a leak alarm system on your water system. So we have 10 of them out there now. Took us a while to get them. There was a delay because of the technology. They were trying to sell us outdated 3G, and I did some research in that, found that that was going out in 2023. So and then sell us the 4G ones that are good for a long time. So there was a delay in getting the new equipment in.
Have we determined what the return is? I mean, like, have we found actual water leaks because of those and saved money?
We have found some leaks with the loaner equipment that we had. Yes, we did. We found one leak on the north side, 1100 block of Lathrop. Another one found a leak inside a house, actually. So, a frozen water meter that was leaking. So we found a few leaks with the loaners that we've had.
Yeah, and so that's the other important thing. They're not necessarily limited to just searching for leaks within the village's system, but you could have service lines. Someone could have a private service line. And at the end of the day, it's not going through the meter. So while the residents were responsible for the repair, we're still losing that. The system is still losing that money because it's not going through the residents' meter, right? So that's important. And then in the case of a vacant house, that's obviously a significant amount of money. And actually, I just talking to some colleagues the other day, and that's the new hot technology for if you want to call it that, for the water systems. A lot of towns are starting to look into those leak sensors. So kudos to Mark and John and Jeff for really trying to stay on top of that stuff. Water and sewer rate increases. We bifurcate the water rate really in two ways. One from our internal operating rate, and then another in terms of what the city charges us, the city of Chicago, where we buy our water from. So we pass that rate through, add a rate for our operating expenses, and that's what you see at home on your particular water rate. So because we have adequate reserves, we feel our budget in the water and sewer fund is in good shape. Based on the water and sewer rate study we did, we don't feel we have to raise our portion of the rate. We would just pass through the Chicago increase, which is 0.82% this year. That was their CPI number. And so we'll keep the sewer rate flat as well. We have enough money that's coming in to pay for our debt obligation on the sewer side. And so we're looking at 3 cents for next year to the water rate and nothing to the sewer rate.
How long is that Chicago tax going to continue to happen?
It's always, yeah.
Always?
Oh, yeah.
I thought there was a sunset on that.
No.
They increase the rate. There was like a huge increase,
right.
And then three big increases.
Right.
It's like 15%.
20,
yeah,
20, then 15, 15, 15, 15, something like that.
And then
they went back down to CPI. But they were not rolling off the...
Ever.
No.
No. Those have been going on for...
Yeah.
How long?
Ever. At least 23 years that I know.
Right. And there have been other communities. I know Des Plaines was one of them. They were on Chicago water, and they built a pipe to Mount Prospect or Arlington Heights,
right,
to connect to the North Suburban Water Distribution System, which gets their water from either Evanston or Wilmette,
yeah,
or one of those
else.
Communities. So we're kind of...
be a lot of pipe.
That would be a lot of pipe, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't ask me to give you an estimate on that cost. More than you can afford.
Right.
And then looking out at water and sewer rate projections in the future. So, we try to track this to give you a sense of what those look like on a going forward basis, so you can see... On 6/1 of 18, going back last year, you had the increase for both River Forest and then for the city of Chicago. And then again for 6/1 of 19, just the Chicago increase. And that's what we have projected moving forward, just the Chicago increase. So hopefully, obviously the residents of the community saw a large increase of that combined rate based on the sewer project, an important and correct decision. But now we're trying to flatten that out as much as we're possible to give folks some relief. Again, 3-year projections looking at revenue expenses, backing out the depreciation. You can see your ending cash and investments within the water and sewer fund is very healthy. So of a budget in the vicinity of about $5.5 million, you have about $1.5 million, $1.6 million in the bank. Pension funds, again, highlighted this earlier in the presentation, so I don't want to be a broken record by any means, but then again, this is an area where you see continued expense, about $100,000, as I mentioned before, your property tax increase last year, which used to be the sole source of funding, big source of funding the pensions, is at $100,000, or excuse me, 70. So 70 on the CPI increase for this year, 100 for your overall increase to the funds. So you can see where we're starting to play, catch up a little bit.
Eric, I just wondered, I don't remember. Was fire significantly underfunded compared to the police pension? Because why doubling the payment to one?
So fire was trailing police. I don't remember the exact percentage, but police was better funded than fire. Fire had some less than optimal return results. And then isn't fire the one where we changed the
investment advisor?
Yeah, we changed investment advisors on that,
right.
And I believe we lowered our rate of return. So when you
kind of started out one was doing better than the other, then
they flip-flopped. Now we're trying to get
right.
them back to to square one.
And so it was based on some of their investments that they had too that were not producing great results.
Right. And that's the challenge when you lower the rate of return, obviously that's going to increase your obligation or unfunded liability. The good news is the fire pension fund, where we had those issues, they were very amenable to going ahead and working with us to follow the recommendations to move forward. We'll just walk through the other major funds and do some high-level reporting here. And again, most of this reflects, these don't really deal much with in terms of the operating, but deal more with capital. So this won't be too much of a surprise based on nothing's changed since our discussion back in January when we talked about the CIP. And so motor fuel tax, that is your main funding source for our street resurfacing. And we've then complemented that with the infrastructure bond fund, so that debt service extension base that we have that gets us about, on average, $250,000 a year in principal and interest payback. That money is going, there's about $250,000 going into the last 2 years street resurfacing, so Jeff's been able to essentially double what we've been doing on street resurfacing. That bond will come up at this beginning of next year. So we would have to make a determination if we want to do that, another small 2-year issuance to allow us to continue to do that. In SERF, again, SERF is your capital equipment replacement fund. So all your police trucks, fire trucks, public works equipment, this is funded through SERF. The number in your budget that speaks to transfers, I believe 100% of that is your SERF transfer. We don't have anything else in transfers. Right. So majority of your transfers out are for SERF, so that we continue to keep that fund healthy. That fund is roughly 100% funded. So the theory being, if you had to pay for all your, it replace all your equipment today, you would have the money to go ahead and do that. In fact, our new sewer truck was recently, we acquired that. It's on the street. And according to Mark, doing fantastic work. All right, that's great. So we get excited about weird things like health insurance and sewer trucks and all that kind of fun stuff. So again, SERF, these are some of the things that we've talked about. No surprises here. Some police squads, a pickup truck, some additional equipment, replacement equipment. And again, as we've talked about numerous times during the capital improvement presentation, some of these things won't be purchased unless that existing piece of equipment breaks down, like the air compressor, the truck scales, things like that. We will be buying a new defibrillator and adding to the street camera system as well. The SIF fund, this was a fund that was created several years ago and funded, when SERF was fully funded, we then took that money that come from the automatic traffic control enforcement system, and that is deposited into the SIF fund. Again, that's what enables you to do other additional capital improvements, equipment purchases, things of that nature.
One-time purchase.
Correct. Again, this is what some of those projects look like for next year. So, again, no surprises from what we talked about during the capital budget discussion in January. Economic Development Fund. So this is the final carryover from the Lake Street TIF fund, and I would anticipate that this fund would probably close out this year in fiscal year 20. All right, so then kind of wrapping everything together, looking out at future years, again, what we've talked about previously with the general fund, we continue to use our reserves in a strategic way to address those one-time costs and expenditures. We are fortunate this year that the Chicago and Harlem project will move forward, so we'll see a significant amount of revenue in terms of that building permit coming in, and that essentially provides a balanced budget for us for this year. And as the village president noted, there are other projects in the pipeline, and so as those come up and when those come in, they could very well happen in this year. They could also happen next year as well. And the other thing we've started to talk about internally is looking at dates to start realizing some of that economic development growth that we'll see. So like on Chicago and Harlem, obviously there's going to be a significant property tax increase to that. We're already starting to try to, you know, put the pin and we're in fiscal year, we're going to start seeing that money because that's not an insignificant amount of money for us. This is a graph before Joan left last year I had put together, we had put in this year's budget, and I think really speaks to that pension issue I talked about earlier. So the green block represents the general fund, blue is police fund, and red is fire pension fund. So you can just see over time how those amounts have increased and how that general fund, and again this represents the village's property tax levy, has decreased. So it's put a little bit more pressure on the proper on the general fund to find other sources of revenue. And again, moving forward in terms of other cost-cutting ways and things that we could do, again, we could always look at reducing services if we wanted to. I'm sure that's probably the wouldn't be the first area we would look to, but something we could certainly look to in the future. We do continue to run a lean operation. Again, we're beating industry trends on insurance. I know that sometimes people go to and say, well, about health insurance or property insurance, we're really in a good shape there. We have we also have good reserves on with Irma and with the IPBC in that realm. We continue to maintain a normal CPI salary growth and to continue to evaluate our pension contributions. And as I mentioned before, 72% of your operating budget is related to salaries and benefits. And of the 72% of that, 70% of it is contractually obligated by a union contract. Again, revenues will have a slight increase to the property tax levy for this year at 1.9%. Again, one of the things we've looked at is just kind of doing a comprehensive review of our fees on a going forward basis. So police tickets, for example, has not been something we've raised in many, many years. And so for some folks, it may be, you know, for a parking ticket or something like that, it, you know, based on the fee for the permits, it may be worth just trying to roll the dice and see if you get a ticket versus paying for the permit because the ticket's actually less than the permit. And the other thing we're starting to look at is the parking around the university. So we're not banking any revenue on that because it could do one of two things. Obviously, it could provide some revenue for us, or it could drive people to literally to buy permits and use the on-site parking facilities. So I wouldn't want to come in right away and balance a budget off of that. But I think it's something where we would ultimately see some revenue. And the reason it becomes more of an option now in terms of operations is we've added two license plate readers to one to a squad and one to the community service officer vehicle. So when the commuter lots and the commuter spots are checked in the morning, they are all checked by a license plate reader that sits atop of the community service officer vehicle. And that's tied into the parking software. And so those, if someone hasn't paid on the app, we know right away, and then it can issue that ticket and put that on their car on a going forward basis. So if we were to implement that around the universities at some point, that's the, that was the board's desire, and certainly there's a lot more conversation that has to take place, we would use that system to do that.
How are our building permit fees compared to other communities?
In terms of just the general fee, I would say on a, we're, just again, this is anecdotally, we haven't studied this, but just based on what I hear back, we're probably on the higher side. Lisa, would you?
Depends on the permit type, but for some permit types, we're still on the high side.
Okay. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions, and then certainly we just want to make sure we allow, if there's any public comment tonight for the public, the official public hearing, we just want to make sure we take that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment regarding our budget hearing? Okay. Any further questions from the board?
Why the big relative bump up in the WS CDC contribution? It's about 13% increase.
Which one is it?
The WESCOM.
Yeah. Oh, number one.
Was that, Jim, was that going up this year or was that going down?
According to the budget.
Going up. Is it going up? So part of that Let me find it here real quick.
The salary.
$53,000.
So that's all based on, your fee is all based on calls for service. So one of the things where the chief is actually looking to do, now it's all coming back to me, looking to do right now is try to track other things instead of through punching tickets, through other internal mechanisms and software databases.
So is it paid in arrears or?
No, so we'll pay, your contribution is, they're on a calendar year budget. So part of the increase is what they've approved for calendar year 2019.
So they just extrapolate the number forward?
Yes, right. And then, so we're already, we saw an increase and then in, we baked in a small increase for 2020. But the idea is, and I know the chief has already started to work on this, is to bring down, obviously we can't control the calls for service that take place from the outside, but how we do some of our internal procedures, we're reevaluating that.
Could there be something like a 311 service where we go, instead of going to the dispatcher, just go to Reforce Police?
Then you'd have to hire a dedicated.
Then we'd have to hire someone to do that.
You'd have to hire a dedicated call taker, right? Basically.
You're still in a better position.
Or you can consider, I mean, an automated, you know, tech system, like a, you know, if you have an issue, it's not an emergency, you can just send it in via, you know, a form.
I think it would be hard to change.
I don't know. I know the city of Chicago implemented something pretty cool and exciting.
So one of the interesting technologies out there is the kind of the AI, the artificial intelligence,
right,
and the chatbots and things
right.
like that. They're out there. I was talking to a colleague of mine about that, and you just kind of laugh at first, but then you think about it, and you're like, well, there might be something to this at some point, right? And so certainly government's usually never the innovator when it comes to things like that. Let
right.
someone else do it, and then we wait a couple of years and let them work out all the kinks and then figure it out, right?
Right.
But certainly not for this year or next year, but yeah, in the future, yeah, that could definitely be something that we look at to try to do that. But then it becomes trying to make sure we manage people's expectations
right.
with what we're doing.
All right. So just a general, obviously, thank you to all of the department heads and Lisa and Eric and Rosie who came in kind of. This is her first full budget, so good job. Just in the future, just something that the new board to consider is as the increment comes in for the TIF funds, you know, scheduling, how you're going to pay back those interfund loans to the general fund, whether you're going to do it on an annual basis or, you know, semi-annual basis, so that you start to close up those interfund transfers. You know, just
mm-hmm.
something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have to put a policy together or just a, you know, something that you're gonna have to start looking at. That's just one thing that we talked about. What else did we talk about today?
Water fund.
Oh, water fund, right. Just making sure that we're maintaining our enough revenue to pay for the loan and that we're not, you know, giving a right, or if one of our goals is to reduce consumption, which I know is something that's out there, you know, that's going to impact the rate that then you're going to have to charge in order to get enough money to pay for the loan. So that's just a kind of a balancing act that you have to do, and you don't want to maintain a zero increase and then double an increase, you know, the next year. So I'm sure you guys have a handle on that, especially with the water rate study that kind of projects out several years. So that's just one thing to make sure we look at. And also, I had some questions on the library. I know we don't control the library, but there were some questions about what projects they're going to do that's going to cost like $500,000, or they have $500,000 in reserves. Do you have any input or understanding?
Yeah, they're doing a renovation of their front counter lobby area. So I know they had gone out to bids. The bids came back too high. They rejected the bids, changed the scope. Part of it had to do with some sort of load-bearing pillar or column of something to that effect. So I suspect they're probably close to going and getting that work approved. But yeah, they were definitely doing some internal customer service, yeah, service desk circulation.
And they're paying for that with reserves, I'm assuming, and they there was an $80,000 revenue item that was not originally included, which has been, well, are you going to talk about that now or at the next meeting
in terms of the library's budget?
Yes, I think there was something that they mistakenly didn't include.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At their budget hearing, it was included. Just in our document.
Okay.
It did not have it in there. So I've added, I've adjusted our document to include the $80,000 in donations.
They have received a donation that was not reflected in our document, so that was changed. I think that was all the.
You mean from the foundation, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how the foundation's dollars are actually being reflected in their budget. I don't know if anybody knows that, but.
Yeah, so just to remind everyone that we have this unique relationship with the public library, and that state law requires the way it's set up, that their tax levy and their budget come through us, so we don't, you know, we're not really a fiduciary necessarily, but we do have the ability to have some oversight in terms of what they do. But again, they've got their own separately elected board that approves all these things and recommends.
They used to be a component unit as part of our audit, and now that's changed, and they don't have ability to borrow. That's why we have to do it on their behalf, so that's why we still have some bond loans for the library that are still.
No, those are all done.
I thought there were still, aren't the library loans still there, or are they paid off? Okay, all right.
Yeah, everything, so everything with the exception.
So we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Is the village a guarantor of those loans?
So they were used, that was part of the debt service extension base, the village let them use a portion of that. So again, based on state laws, a non-home rule community, that's all backed by the full faith and credit of the taxpayers.
I think that's all I had.
Anybody else have anything else? Well, first of all, let me just, go ahead, yeah, Mike, sure.
So the sewer project up north, is phase two just floating out there in limbo now, or do we, well, is there a process as to when that will be accepted or rejected or a plan? Because when we did all this, I thought it was amazing that when they initially built that neighborhood, there were 14 houses in the whole area. So is the part that we didn't do already in phase two, is that, will that need to be done eventually just as a regular replacement thing? Or are we still calling it phase two and having it out there for future board's consideration? I'm just wondering because, you know.
So, yeah, so phase one, we built the interceptor from the river all the way, and we took that, we originally were going to stop at William. We took it all the way to Harlem. So that main 96-inch diameter at the river that eventually works its way down, that's all built. And then all the lines south of Greenfield are all built out. So phase two ultimately would be everything north of Greenfield. And so when we built phase one, the thought behind, and in phase two, is fully designed. It is permitted to the extent the permits are still valid. We may have to get them updated and things like that. Utilities removed, things of that nature. At the time, it was around, it's probably around $8 million to do phase two. The other thing I would tell you, though, is when we did this, we said we wanted to see how phase one worked before we committed to phase two. And I'm pleased to say, at least at this point, we continue to see positives from phase one. And if you take that and you combine that with all the work that Elmwood Park did, so remember that North Avenue interceptor sewer, that everything from Division North to North Avenue fed into was also being fed into everything from Elmwood Park. So Elmwood Park took a bunch of water offline through their pump station. So that in our phase one has significantly reduced what's feeding into that North Avenue pipe. So there's, in a way, we've created more capacity there.
So in a nutshell, I'm happy that phase one has worked and we haven't had to consider phase two because phase one worked. But I'm just curious how, if we're ever going to declare the whole idea of phase two dead and then deal with the components of phase two in the future like any other street in town.
Well, let me ask, I mean, I think I can answer that question. I know we have taken phase two and combined it with the other municipalities that are looking for capital projects from the state. Right now, Governor Pritzker is considering a capital bill. We hope he does, because the municipalities need the money for capital. And that project, amongst other things like the Harlem Viaduct, is also part of that, our request. So we put in a lengthy list of things that we want, and that was one of them.
Because it's shovel ready.
It's shovel ready.
Okay. The other option.
Does that still matter? Shovel ready?
Who knows?
The other thing we talked about, too, was
digging a hole.
We talked about picking off street by street. So in the event you're going to do a total reconstruction of the street from north to Greenfield for that north side, that you would do it as you were processing through that street improvement. So right. You have opportunities, if we need it, to actually complete that over an extended period of time as you're resurfacing your streets, too.
Yeah, you would. I think at the time we figured it was $500,000 per street. Is that right? But that was several years ago, so that number's obviously increased.
I mean, as you said, North Avenue is now carrying a quarter of what they used to carry, or used to carry.
I don't want to speak exactly for the Elmwood Park numbers, but a significant amount, significantly less. Yeah.
Now my basic concern was from a village viewpoint, how we're going to treat the area of phase two if we're not going to do phase two. So that's it.
I don't think we gave up phase two. I think phase two is still there, and it's just where we're going to get the money. So, okay, any further questions for the staff and Eric? Hearing none, I think we'll close the public hearing, and I think close the special board meeting, right?
Yeah, you could do a motion to close the public hearing and close the special board meeting.
Okay, if I can
motion
get a motion.
To close the public hearing and public
and close the special board meeting. Okay, thank you. Okay, if I can ask the clerk to.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Great, thank you.
Can I just ask one question, though?
Yep.
Is it possible to have this posted online if it's not?
Yep.
This
sure.
This is a great document. It's a really good,
it's public
clear,
information.
Bring out the highlights, you know.
Public information, yep.
Much less cumbersome than looking at the whole.
Yeah,
I'm not offended by that.
Yeah. Well,
no, it's a great suggestion. No, it's a great suggestion. Yep.
Well, one's a presentation, one's a document of numbers. So yeah, we're gonna take a 5 to 7 minute break. So get yourself relaxed.